This is I Only Need the Working of My Hands, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Misty Sharks and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Lesbian Chrissy Cunningham, Lesbian Eddie Munson, Alternate Universe, Always a Different Sex, Demon Eddie Munson, Coming Back Different, Temporary Character Death, but not for long, don't worry, Lesbian Yearning, Sapphic Hellcheer, Cunnilingus, Porn with Plot, No Beta because I am impatient and silly, Internalized Homophobia, Possibly the Closest Thing to a Fix-It Fic I Will Write, Eddie Munson as Kaz the Betrayer. Kind of. Summary. Chrissy survives Vecna's attack, but Eddie still dies heroically in the Upside Down. Or does she? Author's Notes. Have you heard of our Lord and Savior, Sapphic Hellcheer? Title, of course, from Disselby Part 2 by Hozier. I feel he would approve of it being used for myself, Sapphic Monster Smut. Apologies for the long time no post. If my body is a temple, then someone did a real shitty job on the foundations.
What's you giving? What's you living?
Dark when Chrissy comes to, or as dark as it ever gets in a hospital room. Squares of orange light spill from the windowed doors, and red lights blink, beating like hearts from the monitors lining the room. Even the windows flash occasionally, with the blue light of an ambulance rushing past. She tries to blink first, and finds her vision blurry, wet. Like, maybe she's been crying? That seems right, though she can't seem to remember why. She tries her hand first, stretching her fingers out before curling them back in. Thumb, index, middle, ring, pinky. The movements are stiff, sluggish, like maybe the fingers forgot that this was something they were able to do. Her other hand is harder to move. Something is in the way, pressing into her tendons, wrapped around like a cast. She jolts her whole body upright, and it hurts as her muscles jump into action, all stiff and hardened with disuse. How long has she been asleep? How long since... The door won't open. Why won't it open? Footsteps on the stairs, footsteps in the hallway. The monster is here. He's real. Oh, God, he's going to... Chrissy? The voice pulls her back to the hospital room. The orange squares, the blinking red. Someone sits in the chair next to her bed. A woman. Her clothes are black. Her hair hangs in dark curls. And for a moment, Chrissy thinks, "Hi, hey, it's okay, it's just me," Nancy Wheeler says, and the surprise of who it is almost overshadows the disappointment of who it isn't. Because it doesn't make any sense, her being here. They aren't friends. Of that, Chrissy is pretty sure. What happened? She ends up asking. Because that seems more important than anything else. She can't move her toes. Oh, God, why can't she move her toes? Down the hall, someone coughs, and Nancy flinches, leaning down close. Look, we don't have a lot of time, and I need you to listen really carefully. Her voice is intense, her eyes serious, and suddenly Chrissy remembers why they rarely talk. The sound of footsteps down the hall breaks the moment, as Nancy's shifting, putting herself between Chrissy and the doors. Suddenly, it doesn't feel so bad to have someone as intense as Nancy on her side. Tomorrow, the cops are going to want to speak to you, Nancy whispers, one eye still on the illuminated doors. And this is important. I need you to act like you can't remember any of it. For a moment, Chrissy is about to say, well, that won't be hard, because it's true. But between one breath and the next, bits and pieces start coming back. The woods, the drugs, the visions, the monster. Oh, right. Chrissy wets her lips, nods her head. I think I can do that. Hopper knows, by the way, Nancy adds as she straightens up to leave. He won't be able to do anything with everyone else there, though, so just stick to the amnesia. I'll be back tomorrow and explain some more if you're up for it. Wait, Chrissy croaks, not ready for Nancy to leave just yet. She needs to ask. What about him, the monster? She half expects Nancy to call her crazy. To somehow dispute the evidence of her broken limbs, the burning corners of her eyes. Because how can it be true? How can monsters like him exist outside of her dreams? We burnt his body, but it wasn't enough. Nancy answers, curling her lips in distaste. We'll do better next time. It sounds like a promise. When she reaches the door, the undulating shriek of an ambulance passes outside once more, painting her face in its flashing light. For the first time tonight, she looks hesitant. Oh, if they ask, she starts, before changing course. Just don't say anything about Munson. Please. Her voice sounds off. Like it hurts even saying the name. Why? Is Eddie in trouble? Her smile, black lipstick sharp against white teeth. You know, this isn't the first time we've hung out. Her fingers, twisting around the key in the ignition, the roar of music as the engine comes to life. Her hands, their touch echoing into another dimension as they shake her, as her voice becomes more and more distressed. Chrissy! Chrissy, wake up! The ambulance has passed, and she can't see Nancy's face anymore, but her body stills in a way that makes Chrissy's stomach drop. Nancy? I'm sorry, she says, her voice uncharacteristically soft. She didn't make it out. Later, she learns that she had died in the earthquake. The one that Chrissy had slept all the way through. Or what they decided to call an earthquake, even though it was something far, far worse. On the second night, Nancy comes back and brings with her Buckley from band, of all people. Together, they tell her the truth. the secrets hidden just below the surface of the town she has lived in all her life. It all starts to make sense in a crazy sort of way. But knowing it was real and believing it are two different things. She needs some time, she thinks, to really let it all sink in. Luckily, time is something she suddenly has. Recovery is her doctor's favorite word, but how long it will take, he doesn't want to say. Maybe because he doesn't know either. When they finally release her from the hospital, aching and broken, but with a whole new group of friends to help her out, she doesn't go back to her parents' house. She's not sure she even can. Nightmare vision or not, that house nearly claimed her life. In the end, under the guise of witness protection, they set her up with Hopper in his old cabin in the woods. It is a quiet place, and Hopper is often out, but she doesn't mind it so much. After so many years under the scrutiny of her mother, it feels kind of nice being on her own. Still, Eddie doesn't leave her mind. The woman who saved her life, only to die heroically in some version of hell which Chrissy only caught the smallest glimpse. "She dedicated this song to you," Dustin had said, as if it was supposed to mean something. As if it was supposed to make sense of what she feels.
Eddie.
Her body is somehow always in motion, even as she drives her van. This track is my favorite. Listen to this bit. "It feels like my whole brain is being scrambled," Chrissy shouts, and her voice is barely heard over the blaring sound. "Exactly! Isn't it fucking glorious?" She spends her weeks within the cabin, hobbling around with her two big crutches wedged under her aching armpits. It's still better than sitting still. She tries to help the best she can, making sandwiches with Joyce, searching old maps with Hopper, commiserating with Max over physical therapy and painkiller pills. Most of the time, though, she is alone, healing, aching.
"Chrissy, please, just come back to me," Eddie had begged.
And somehow, she had. She'd clawed her way back, sore feet running over burning coals, but it had taken too long, had hurt her too much. Maybe if she had regained consciousness that night, things would have been different. Maybe Eddie wouldn't have felt forced to run so soon after she'd called 911. Maybe she would have dared to stay, holding on to Chrissy's hand. But she doesn't blame Eddie for assuming the worst. Everyone had. For over a month, she'd been trapped in a place of in between, not quite in the grasp of Vecna, and not quite in the mind of her own. And now that she's back, she feels almost like the ghost of herself, moving through a world that was meant to go on without her. Weeks stuck between the walls of the cabin start to get to her, though, so she's given permission to go on walks, to limp through the woods, testing her strength as she gains it, day by day by day. Soon. Soon she'll be able to help. Be able to fight. Make her own decisions. When the last cast finally comes off, she goes out after the sun is set. It's a bad idea, she knows, but her leg is filled with pins and needles and her body aches, and sometimes walking is the only thing that helps. The days are shorter now, with autumn truly setting in, and her favorite sweater barely keeps the cold at bay. Her ears must be red, with her hair tied back in its usual way. It's one of the few things she still keeps up with when it comes to her appearance. It's not like any of it matters to the trees and the leaves. It's an overcast night, with a smell of rain already heavy in the air. And she's just about to turn back, her knees starting to ache, when she sees them. Two glowing points of light gleaming in between the trees. Small, golden, blinking. Demogorgons don't have eyes, she thinks, as she freezes mid-step. There is a shape surrounding the points of light. Gangly, hunched, human, she thinks. Overhead, a glimpse of moonlight escapes the cloud cover, and it illuminates the clearing and the two of them within. Eddie, she breathes, and the creature flinches as if struck. Her hair is matted, her clothes dirty and ripped all over, but oh, God, it is her! Chrissy takes a step forward involuntarily, her hands reaching out like she might touch, even though her whole body is screaming at her to run. Finally, Eddie's eyes find hers and... Oh. She's trapped. Pinned like a mouse in the sights of a hawk. Have you come for me? Chrissy whispers, because she's dreamed of that sometimes. Of Eddie returning for the favor she is owed. For the life she traded for hers. But the words don't seem to register. The eyes only searching. The hands twitching as if ready to pounce. Suddenly, the pinpoints of light within her eyes flicker out. And with a sway of her shoulders, she falls forward. Landing hard on her hands and knees on the muddy ground. A wounded noise slips from beneath the curtains of her tangled hair, and with it, whatever spell that had kept Chrissy frozen in place shatters into a thousand pieces. Eddie's skin is hot to the touch. She is pale and dirty and scratched all over, but under Chrissy's hands, she is warm and soft and real. Chrissy... She whispers, voice far away and thick, as if pushed through mud and blood and dirt just to make it up her throat. And when she falls into Chrissy's arms, she smells like wet leaves. Wet leaves, smoke, and rain. The heavens open as they make their way back to the cabin. But inside, the air is still warm. Hopper, long since gone for his nightly shift, has left the fireplace smoldering and the porch light on. It gives the room an almost eerie glow as she pulls her burden down the hall. She's quiet, even as she is deposited on the wooden toilet seat, only flinching slightly as her back hits the porcelain cistern. She hasn't really said anything since she uttered Chrissy's name, but at least the glow in her eyes remains absent. Were they always this black before? Chrissy can't remember. The old water heater sputters to life with a groan as she turns on the taps of the bath, squirting in some soap and watching as the bubbles grow. Hundreds of questions burn on her tongue. Where did you go? How are you here? Did you miss me as much as I missed you? But she doesn't think she can answer in the state she's in. So Chrissy focuses on the bath, the washcloths, and the soap. Get her clean, get her warm, get her dry. Everything else can wait. Turning back to Eddie, she cleans her face off first, searching the features for any sign of recognition. Any sign that she is the same girl that had saved her life, the one she had only just begun to know. Her nose is still the same, a little crooked, distinct, and bigger than most girls she knows. The lines around her mouth deepening as she frowns at the touch of the wet cloth against her skin. There are rips along the back of her shirt as Chrissy looks her over. They look strange, like whatever ripped them did so from the inside. Below, on the skin, dark markings form shapes along her back, following along her shoulder blades and down. Almost like... She shakes her head, refocuses on her task. First, she must get Eddie clean. Everything else can wait. Like how the scratches she'd seen on her arms have disappeared, leaving only faint scars in the places they had been. The shirt falls off her easily, already torn so closely to shreds. Underneath, Eddie wears a tattered black bra that hangs from a single strap, digging red marks into the pale white skin of her shoulder. As she turns her attention to the jeans, Chrissy hesitates. They are caked in mud, soaked all the way through, but it still feels a little wrong taking them off, like a violation of trust. Because Chrissy's never seen Eddie like this, without her armor. The thing is, despite having gym together for nearly a year, they've never gotten changed in the same room before. It's not a mystery why. The rumors had been there for as long as Chrissy had known who Eddie was. The freak, the slut, the dyke. Annie rolling her eyes as it became clear that Eddie was skipping yet another class. It's not like we want her changing in here anyway. What if she, like, gets off on it? Chrissy's own guilty thoughts, as she wonders what that might be like, having Eddie look at her like that. Underneath the denim, Eddie's thighs are just as pale as the rest of her. Soft, lightly dusted with hair, and cold from the rain. With the fabric wet, it takes Chrissy several minutes and one large tug at the rip along the knee to pull them off. When she reaches Eddie's ankles, she realizes that the shoes need to go first. Sitting down fully on the soles of her feet, knees cold on the bathroom tiles, she has to move her skirt out of the way to get to the laces. The wet knots are a struggle, but she smiles to herself with satisfaction as the shoes come off in her hands. She always has been good with her fingers. A soft noise from above alerts her, and looking up, she finds Eddie's eyes scanning her actively, blinking at her twice.
Chrissy,
she croaks, and Chrissy rushes to her feet, putting both her hands on Eddie's cheeks. Yes, yes, I'm here, Eddie, it's me!
Where am I?
Hopper's cabin, it's a long story. Are you okay? Are you hurt anywhere else? Her body looks whole, but what if the bleeding is internal? Diagrams from her father's journals flash through her mind. Swellings, tumors, sweating glandules of pus.
No, I don't think so. But Chrissy, how are you here? I saw you. Your legs, your...
The audible crack as her kneecap inverted and shattered, her foot dangling uselessly in the air. And then, Eddie's voice.
You saved me, she tells Eddie, because she has to, needs her to know. And Eddie blinks, her eyes suddenly wet.
I did?
Yeah, Chrissy says, laughing even as tears begin to form in her own eyes.
You did. You really did.
They embrace, and it feels like the gasp of air when you breach the water's surface. A dizzying flush of relief flooding through her body as she sobs. They're here. They're both still here. Before long, as she regains control of her breath, Eddie shivers, goosebumps scattering over her upper arms. After a quick look down, she widens her eyes.
Chrissy?
Why am I naked?
Oh, right.
Chrissy scrambles to pull back to explain herself.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I needed to get you undressed to clean you. That's what the bath is for?
I see.
Eddie chuckles warmly, dimples appearing on her cheeks, and...
Oh, Chrissy had forgotten about those.
Help me in.
Together, they get her out of her bra. Chrissy's mind carefully blank as Eddie leans against her shoulder, slipping her underwear off.
Above all, she doesn't look down.
The water is steaming hot, but Eddie doesn't seem to mind as she sinks down, a deep sigh escaping her mouth as she settles in.
I'll go get you some clothes, Chrissy tells her as she stands,
her personal space feeling empty now that Eddie is no longer in it. Stumbling out of the room, she stops to lean heavily against the corridor wall, breathing deep and shutting her eyes.
It's okay, she reminds herself. Eddie is okay.
All she needs to do is remember that, and maybe she will feel okay too. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. Around her, the cabin creaks as the wind picks up, rain heavy on the window panes. Somewhere in the distance, the low rumble of thunder reverberates in tune with her jackrabbit heart. Returning to the bathroom, arms full of clothes. Her clothes. Her clothes. She finds Eddie sitting upright once more, hunched over her knees, arms wrapped around herself.
I got you a big towel, too, Chrissy tells her, setting the things out as neatly as she can on the small bathroom shelf.
Eddie nods, but doesn't look up.
Instead, her gaze remains fixed on her glossy black nails as she twirls her hands to look them over one by one.
I don't remember painting my nails, she murmurs, chewing on her lip. With a start, she stills and opens her mouth. Slowly, she runs her tongue over the upper teeth, stopping at the point of a canine tooth. It looks sharp.
That's also new.
She worries at it for a moment, before looking up at Chrissy, dark eyes intense, concerned.
Chrissy, did I die?
She tells Eddie everything as she washes out her hair. It is no small task. Her dark hair perpetually messy, even on the best of days, but Chrissy perseveres, unearthing twigs and leaves and God knows what as she works the tangles out. By the time she has finished, the bubbles are all but gone and the water is almost cool. In the silence that follows, Eddie sits, chewing on her thumbnail as Chrissy's hands continue their movement through her hair. They both know it's Eddie's time to speak, but Chrissy doesn't push. Knows that some things need to take their time.
I don't remember a lot, she says eventually. Not after the bats got me. It hurt, though. Like a motherfucker.
Her hand moves through the surface of the water as she speaks, a gentle sloshing sound following in its wake. Below, the light ripples over her stomach, pale and soft, and completely unharmed. Chrissy's eyes follow the movement, and it is a mistake, because as she does, she sees, well, all of Eddie. Her soft breasts, small and round like Chrissy's own, resting under sharp collarbones. the curve of her stomach, turning in just before the start of her hips, and the dark swell of hair at the point where her legs both meet. The pubic mound, the perfect size to fit a grasping hand, a push of fingers. Swallowing, she forces her gaze up and away, shifting her legs to contain the thrumming in between. "Shut up, shut up, shut up," she tells her brain, her body, and her heart. Below her, blissfully unaware of the ongoing crisis in Chrissy's mind, Eddie continues to speak.
"Like, it's all just bits and pieces. I don't know if it was Vecna who brought me back or just freaky upside-down magic, but I know I escaped him. Escaped it. Must have wandered those woods for days before I found you." She thinks of Eddie all alone, stumbling through the trees while Chrissy had been right here, doing laundry and spreading butter. It kind of makes her want to scream. Instead, she tilts Eddie's head back, pushing her fingers deep into her hair, massaging her scalp. It pulls a deep moan from Eddie's chest.
"Fuck, sorry. That just felt really good.
It's okay. I don't mind."
She doesn't. Oh God, she really doesn't.
Once they're all cleaned up, Chrissy gathers her blankets and readies her bed for sleep. She is still building up the courage to ask if Eddie wouldn't mind to share when she feels eyes on the back of her neck. Eddie is standing in the doorway of the room. The overhead light is off, so the fireplace glow of the room beyond surrounds her where she stands. It makes her look like a shadow, a dark silhouette at the entrance of her room. A faint reflection of light in her eye pins Chrissy in her place, making her stand still in her movements once again. "Eddie?" she asks. And for a moment, she's not sure if she'll get a reply. Something about how Eddie holds her head, tilted, considering, feels reminiscent more of the Eddie she had first found in the woods, quiet and tense, and on the verge of doing something. "Why do you smell like..." Eddie blinks, then shakes her head, as if thinking better of it, pushing the thought away. "Like what?" "Fuck, Chris, like you want me."
"I do."
The words are out before she has a chance to think, and she immediately puts her hand over her mouth, willing the words to go back inside.
Oh no, oh no, oh no.
But the words are out, and Eddie certainly heard them, because now that she's stepped in closer, her face coming into the light, her eyes are big and wild.
"Fuck, this is another new thing, isn't it? Like, Vecna gave me super hearing, sharp new appendages, and, I don't know, mystical sex appeal?"
Chrissy thinks of the hours she's spent staring at Eddie and girls like her, and feeling so lost. Of sleepless nights willing the thoughts away, telling herself over and over to just be normal.
"It would have been nice back then, to be able to blame all that on some magical thing."
"Unless you already had that in March, I don't think so," Chrissy mumbles, her face heating as she looks down at her feet. Eddie is pacing now, hands in her hair, every movement sending droplets of water splashing across the room.
"But you've seen me, right? I'm not..." she indicates to Chrissy, as if that somehow explains what she's not. "And with all of this..."
she gestures at teeth and nails, as if Chrissy might have forgotten they were there.
"It's all kind of, I don't know, demonic?" She stops at that, barking out a humorless laugh.
I guess I finally became what they always thought I was, huh?
No, Chrissy says, breaking through the shame that still threatens to swallow her whole.
No? Eddie echoes, stilling where she stands.
I have seen you, she tells her, dropping the blanket and putting her hand to her face, cradling it close. I haven't stopped wanting to see you, Eddie. Not since that day in the woods. She smiles gently, pulling the hair from Eddie's mouth away from her face. I didn't care about any of it then, and I don't care about any of it now.
Maybe you should, Eddie says,
and it comes out broken and jagged, and Chrissy hates how it sounds, hates how this is how Eddie sees herself. Shaking herself of the shame, of the fear, she pulls her own hair back, bares her neck, parts her lips, offers herself up in every way that she can. And oh, there it is. The hunger in Eddie's eyes, the one she's seen only once before.
Streetlights passing outside the van's window. The bumps in the road as they take the exit to the trailer park grounds. The lull of conversation as the album comes to a close. Chrissy is stretching in her seat, her skirt riding up, exposing another sliver of the side of her thigh. The thought of, oh, so that is how it feels, as Eddie's eyes follow the movement down.
Don't you think we've denied ourselves enough? She says now, and kisses Eddie first. It starts as a soft thing, a careful thing, a schoolyard kiss after the confession of a crush. But it grows, builds into something deeper, something harder, as a sound rumbles deep in Eddie's throat. God, Chrissy, I want, she says, desperately between kisses. She's warm. Oh, God, she's so warm. Please, take it, whatever it is, whatever you want. Next thing she knows, they're on the bed, breathing each other in, hands pushing at the hem of her t-shirt, hot fingers on hot skin, and, oh, that's right. She isn't wearing a bra. Once skin meets skin, she gasps with the contact, pulling Eddie down on top of her, already addicted to having her as close to her body as she can. Fuck. Chrissy, I've never... Me neither. It's okay. Don't stop. She feels feverish with it, surrounded by nothing but Eddie, damp hair curling around her face, soft lips breathing onto hers.
Can I taste you? I really want to taste you, Eddie asks. And Chrissy nods so hard she almost knocks their heads together.
Within moments, her shirt is rucked up to her neck, and she finds herself exposed. Seen.
Jesus Christ, Eddie whispers.
And then her mouth is on her, covering Chrissy's nipple as well as the majority of her breast within its heat. She'd never realized how big Eddie's mouth was until now, or how long her tongue seemed to reach. She wants more of it, more of her. Eddie's knee sits between her legs, and she rubs against it, searching for some friction, but it is not nearly enough. Touch me, she whines, unable to wait any longer, grabbing Eddie's hand and shoving it into her shorts. The noise it punches out of Eddie's mouth is almost as good as the first electric touch of her knuckles against Chrissy through her underwear. Eddie hides her face in her neck, shy, but her fingers are everything but. God, she only just changed into this pair of underwear, and they are already ruined. Soaked. A finger presses in sharply, and she arches her back. More, please, she pants, and it makes Eddie let out a deep whine against her neck.
Ugh, you're killing me, Chris. Fuck.
And then her fingers, her long, talented, calloused fingers, slip past the elastic and onto her. Rubbing, circling, so carefully testing what Chrissy might like. The feeling is overwhelming. The sensations all crashing into one another until all she knows is that it is good. It is all so, so good. Before long, she grabs Eddie's face, smashing their mouths together, smothering the sound of her orgasm between them as she arches further than she thought her body even could. Eddie looks wild when she lets her go, falling back onto the mattress. The waves of her orgasm abate, but the heat of what she's just done, what they are still doing, does not. Jesus, that was... Christ. My turn, Chrissy mumbles into her collarbone, making her way down Eddie's neck. She could turn them over, she knows, and make this easier for herself. But there's something about Eddie like this, vulnerable yet totally in control above Chrissy, that thrills her in a brand new way. She wants to chase it, wants to see just where it leads. Eddie's chest tastes like iron-rich water and salt and sweat, and her nipples are sensitive too, under the touch of Chrissy's hands and mouth and tongue. The texture is addicting, the way they rise up and out at her attention, and the way they fit perfectly carefully right in the space between her teeth. By the time she makes her way down to the borrowed underwear, her mouth feels too empty, too wet, to not be used in a brand new way. Without thinking, she ducks down, makes space between Eddie's thighs, and kisses the mound right through the fabric wall. It is only when Eddie grits out a shaky, Jesus, you don't have to, that she stops long enough to consider what she's about to do. Where she is about to put her mouth, her tongue. She's about to ask if she can, about to beg for permission because she wants that. She wants it now. When she falls back to face Eddie and is floored by what she sees. Eddie's hair is a mess, where it hangs in waves and curls, framing the pink sheen of her cheeks and ears as she flushes hard. All along her neck, little pink marks are littered, each and every one the perfect size of Chrissy's mouth. She did that. Little Chrissy Cunningham, always so innocent, so dumb, so weak, has made an absolute mess of Eddie the Freak. It makes her feel a little insane. Like she could do anything, be anything, as long as Eddie looks at her like that. God, her eyes are so black. Were they really always this black? In the end, she doesn't beg, doesn't even need to ask. She simply lays her body down and waits for Eddie to come to her. Who would have thought that her brain, so trained to be perfect and pious and innocent, could think of such filthy, wonderful things? She would have called it a fuck you to her mom if she gave a damn about that woman in this moment in time. For now, there is only Eddie. Eddie, laid bare as her underwear comes off, as her shaky knees come to rest on either side of Chrissy's face, asking her one last time if she's sure this is what she wants. Maybe this is what it feels like going out of your mind. Or maybe it is just the feeling of finally breaking free. In the end, all she has to do is nod and smile and lick her lips in a way that Eddie must have come to like. because then she is surrounded, finally, by all of Eddie. Her scent, her skin, her pleasure, her whole body thrumming with it. And oh God, Chrissy wants it all. Slowly, she opens her mouth, her lips sliding against the sensitive skin, her breath the ghost of touches to come. And when she finally dares to let her tongue out from between her lips, finally reaching it out to touch, she knows there is no going back. Eddie swears, and she thinks she hears something rip as she dips herself inside, as she maps out the folds and slides up and down her sensitive spots bit by bit. She revels in the whimpers that reach her with every touch. Closing her lips around her clit, she sucks it into her mouth and, oh, the noise that creates reverberates into her bones, heavy and deep, like the thunder still rolling somewhere far away from the sanctuary of her bedroom sheets. She loses herself in the sensations, closing her eyes and listening only to the sounds that Eddie makes, nearly drowning out the steady beat of the rain as her breath begins to hitch. God, fuck, I'm close, she whimpers, and Chrissy nods, hums into it, holds on tighter as the thighs bracketing her face begin to shake. Opening her eyes, she looks up at Eddie, her body stark and white against the dark windows and the storm still raging outside. Over the peaks and valleys of her stomach and breasts, Chrissy can see all of her, back arched and mouth open as she pants, little noises rising in volume as her orgasm builds. Finally, she spasms, grinds down against Chrissy's mouth as she meets it, takes it for all that she is worth. And as the amber glow of Eddie's eyes sparkle into light once more, a guttural noise makes its way out of her chest. Between the sharp flash of one fork of lightning and the next, she reaches her highest pitch, and black shapes spring out of her back, spreading like a darkened halo out from her shoulder blades, surrounding her head and twitching within the throes of her pleasure. Soon, the shaking of her body subsides, and she staggers into Chrissy, letting herself be folded into the cradle of her arms. Holy shit, I don't know what that was, what I even am, she pants, her eyes wide as the glow subsides. You are Eddie, Chrissy says, kissing her cheeks, her eyelids, her nose. That's enough for me. And as she reaches out to touch the leathery surface, the wings shudder softly beneath her fingertips. The morning hits warm and bright, filtering through the lace curtains and dust of the room. Soon, Hopper will be home, and with him there will be questions. Probably a bit of yelling, if Chrissy knows him well enough. And then more, as they inform the rest of the group. Not everyone will accept Eddie back as readily as she did, she knows. But she will deal with that, once the time comes. For now, she will watch Eddie as she lies curled up against her side, real and tangible in the morning light. Soft, like none of her features were ever sharp enough to cut. The several large tears in the sheets belie this, of course, as well as the sharp teeth in Eddie's mouth where it lies open, drool pooling onto the pillow below. Even her wings run ragged shapes, where they lay splayed haphazardly between the blankets. But there is a softness to this monster, Chrissy knows. And she is going to protect it as fiercely as she can. Even if she is the only one who will. The end. Don't need to know it all.
not business.
Happy Halloween! Thank you for bearing with me as I learn how to write smut. Heart!
Reader's Notes.
This podfic was recorded for X-Men Hater as a treat for ITPE 2023. So you asked for things like femslash or gender swaps and Chrissy Eddie. And the problem with having recorded 18 Chrissy Eddie podfics in the last year, where I wiped out the entire list of blanket permission authors that I could find, is that then there are no more blanket permission authors. So thank you to Misty Sharks for having blanket permission to podfic and writing the perfect blend of femslash Chrissy Eddie and vampire fun times monster Eddie for me personally, and also I think for X-Men Hater, which is why you're getting that as a gift. And also to everyone else on the internet who's listening right now, thank you for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed it. It has been a rough day. Just FYI, if you've gotten this far, I know we've been here for almost an hour. I am definitely on the verge of blowing my voice out, and if you notice a change in the middle of the porn, no you didn't. I definitely didn't have to stop talking for 45 minutes, so I did not give myself laryngitis. Anyway, thank you to the mods for running ITPE for one more year. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.